This time we turn in the Bible to the book of 1 John. 1 John and then to chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Read from 1 John chapter 2, the verses 12 through 29, through the end of the chapter. Begin our reading this morning at verse 12 of 1 John chapter 2. The text for the sermon will be verse 28. Verse 28 of 1 John chapter 2. There, beginning at verse 12, we read this word of God. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his word. The text is verse 28, where the Lord says to us, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the earlier verses prior to the text speak of the many threats and perils that the church faces, and which we will again, as a church of Jesus Christ, face in the new year. There is, first of all, the threat of the world. As John teaches us, all that is of the world is the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that world will tempt you to follow it in the pleasures which it presents before you in its temptations. But we are warned, all that is of the world passes away under God's curse. We're admonished to fight that enemy, flee the world, love not the world, nor the things that are of the world. Then there is the threat of our own sin, our own depravity, which is attracted to the things of the world. And besides that, there is the enemy of the Antichrist, of which the Apostle John mentions, which he says are already now in the world, and not in the world, dormant, but working vigorously against the remnant of God and His church, opposing God's truth, and seeking to build a kingdom of man in the earth against the Lord's Christ and against His kingdom, and if it were possible, to overthrow that kingdom of Christ, which we represent in the earth. There is the danger of false teaching and the lie and heresy, which denies, as John teaches, that Jesus is the Christ, and denies that He is the Son of God, and denies the Father. There is the threat of the wicked one himself, who by means of his devils seeks, through manifold temptations, to overthrow that kingdom of Christ in you, if it were possible. And he will come against us again this year to tempt us, if it were possible, to be snatched out of the hand of Christ and the Father. And that raises the question, as we stand before that reality, which is somewhat terrifying to us, perhaps, as we begin the new year, we wonder, well, how are we going to make it through another year when we face that horde of enemies? How shall we pass through as strangers and pilgrims in the midst of the world and of the earth safely? That safety, of course, was a concern for the Apostle John in our text and in the context. His concern is for the prosperity of the church. He is an apostle of the church. His concern is for the prosperity of the New Testament church of our Lord Jesus Christ. His concern is that the church not fail in its faithfulness to Him and His truth, but rather remain immovable and steadfast in the work and truth of the Lord. It's out of that motive and that concern that the apostle calls the church to whom he writes, little children. He loves the people of God. His concern for their welfare, their spiritual well-being. He understands the enemies which would seek to destroy the church and seek to prevail over the church and the rock upon which she is anchored and built. The prosperity of the church is precious to him, and it's also precious to us. How shall our covenant children, how shall we, how shall the congregation prosper through 2016, another year of our Lord? The Apostle John answers that question with something very simple, yet very profound, As he speaks to little children, he doesn't speak in the language of professors. But very simply, little children, abide in him. Abide in Christ. That's the way, the only way, we will prosper through another year. Let us consider then briefly this morning that truth under the text, under the theme rather, little children, abide in him. Notice first of all the command, then secondly we'll notice the purpose of abiding in him, and thirdly the possibility. Little children, abide in him. By that command, beloved, the Lord calls us to live within the sphere of our Lord Jesus Christ. Which means negatively, do not attempt to live apart from Christ. There is no salvation apart from Christ. There is no success. There is no prosperity apart from Jesus Christ. Now many this year will also try to proclaim that that's not true. They will try to convince men and perhaps even the church that there are other ways of salvation and prosperity and peace and a way to soothe your conscience from sin and the misery of this life. So the prophets of Islam, Hinduism, and many other religions today boldly declare that their rules and their rituals, they provide the key to success and spiritual prosperity in life. Just follow their recipes for success and peace, and all will be well. And so follow the billions in those ways. And yet the Lord teaches us in 1 John 2, there's nothing safe about those world religions whatsoever. For the Lord declares that whatever is of the world, of man's imagination, whatever is not of the Word of God, passes away. All of that cannot last. All of those things which are contrary to the truth, and therefore the lie, which is of the devil, cannot endure forever. Though man may boast, they have their prosperity, they have some measure of peace in their wealth, or this religion, or that religion. The Lord says, no, that will pass away. It is under God's curse. He uses the wicked for a time, but when his purpose is finished, when their cup of iniquity is full, they will pass away in everlasting destruction. The only thing that abides forever in this life, John teaches, is the Word of God, that true, living Word in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, he who does the will of God, John teaches, he who believes that Word of God and follows that Word of God and builds his life upon that Word of God, he abides forever. He has success. He will have peace. You see, apart from Christ, apart from his Word, there is no salvation. There is no comfort. There will be no happiness. Let us not seek in the things of this world for happiness and peace from the misery of this life. No. Little children, abide in me, the Lord teaches us. Abide in me. Why in Christ? Because first of all, in Christ is our righteousness before God. We have been taught by the Spirit that apart from Jesus Christ, there is only unrighteousness. Apart from Christ, we are ourselves unrighteousness and have only unrighteousness. But Christ is our righteousness. He has, by his death on Calvary, and by the shedding of his blood, and by his perfect obedience, earned all of your perfection, all of your righteousness before God. And in that righteousness, we do not stand naked before God this morning, we stand clothed in his righteousness before God. So that's what God sees when he looks at you. Sees us as heirs of eternal life, worthy of his blessing, worthy to be spoken to as his little children and the beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, in the second place, besides that righteousness, is our life. For he is the resurrection and the life. And because we are joined to him by the Spirit, there is no life apart from Christ. He is the tree of life. Out of him flows the source of that eternal life. Apart from him, as we sing in Psalter number 203, apart from God, death. In Christ, life, everlasting. And so yes, in Christ, you see then is our dwelling place. Our abiding place, our home in this life. We learn in Hebrews 13, there is no abiding place here. We have no continuing city here. We're in a tent. We're strangers and pilgrims. But even so, in this life, we do have a dwelling place, an eternal home. That's Christ. That eternal home serves as our refuge. For there will come in this year troubles and afflictions. Maybe not exactly the same as last year. But those afflictions will come. Where will you go? To what will you run when your life is turned upside down and inside out? When the crisis falls into your lap? Where will you go? Beloved, in him is our refuge. When you wrestle with the guilt of your sin, where will you go? Little children, abide in him. There is rest and the peace which passes all understanding. You see, in Christ is our comfort, our only comfort in life and death. In Christ is that mercy, you see. Mercy which brings us to repentance. Mercy which not only causes us to see our sin and our sinful natures, but also the glorious work of Christ to cover that sin, to forgive that sin, to remember it no more. The mercy which takes that beautiful work of the cross of Christ and applies that to our conscience, so that we have comfort, we have hope, we have that new song of gladness in our hearts. Then to live in that comfort, to live in that truth, Christ is also our wisdom. Little children, abide in Christ, who is your wisdom, to live faithfully this year. You won't find that wisdom in the world. All that is of the world, even its wisdom, is against Christ, against our Father in heaven. That wisdom also will pass away. But in Christ is the wisdom which is heavenly. It's true. It's beautiful. It's a wisdom which begins and ends with our Father and his truth and his glory. A wisdom in which our spiritual compass is set, not to ourselves or the things of this life, but to Christ, him crucified and risen again. And in that Christ is, you understand, to live that faithful life, our sanctification. It's not only our righteousness before God, Christ is also our life, the righteousness of obedience with God within His commandments, within fellowship with Him. In Christ, we find strength to fight the good fight of faith, to live that life, and live in the beginning of that new life which He works in us. Little children, therefore, when you see all of those threats and perils around you in life, what should we do? The Apostle John teaches us very simply, little children, abide in Christ. Remain in Him. The Lord calls us, you see, to know Him. This is an activity of knowledge. Know your Christ. Know your Savior. Know your Lord. Remain in His truth. Yes, doctrine does matter. Believing the Reformed faith is important. It affects our life. Knowing the Reformed faith is to know Christ, your Lord, and to abide in all that truth that flows out of Jesus Christ. That central bedrock of Christ is to remain in Him. Abide in His knowledge, all your heart and mind and soul and strength. Do that continuously in this year. Keep on abiding in Him. The Lord teaches us. This is not something the Lord calls us to do just part-time, maybe one out of the 7 days of the week, and the rest is for you. Let that be your motto this year. Little children, abide in Me. To maintain that spiritual health of abiding in the Lord, we must, of course, we must attend the means of grace in the Lord's day. For under the means of grace, you receive that spiritual food to see Christ as your only hope and salvation. By the means of grace, the Spirit works in us that understanding, that knowledge of Christ as our only hope and salvation, and by that grace works in us the faith, that spiritual muscle to abide in Him. Abide in Me this year by faithful prayer. Pray without ceasing in My name. Read the Bible this year. See Christ, not just in the New Testament, but look for Him also as prophesied in the Old Testament. Study that Word of God with your fellow saints. Discuss together that Word of Christ in fellowship on the Lord's Day, during the week, at the supper table after the long day of work. Sing that Word of God and the Psalms together. Abide in Me. You see, when those means are neglected, as we have also learned, when we neglect those means, we become spiritually weak. And then we don't abide in Christ. We think we don't need Him. We can get along just fine without Him. But when there's a crisis, well, then I'll abide in Him because that's probably when I need Him. But for the rest of my life, no. Don't neglect those means of grace and the subordinate ways in which we must abide in Christ. That's the only safe way. By that, the Lord warns us, don't walk in the ways of unbelief. Unbelief does not want Christ, will never want Christ, rejects Him. And from that we must repent. Seek the grace of God to believe in Jesus Christ, to abide in His truth, to abide in His life, to abide in the way, the truth, and the life which Christ is for us. True faith is content with Him. Just as a little child is content to be held in the arms of his mother, so we pray, we desire, yes, little children, we be those little children who are content to abide in the arms of Christ. As a content little child, understanding we are totally dependent upon him for everything in this life, even our daily bread. What's the purpose of that? The purpose of that, beloved, of abiding in Christ, is the reality that Christ is coming again. He is coming for us personally, individually. We don't know when the day of our death will take place. It can happen, from our viewpoint, very unexpectedly, much earlier than perhaps what we have planned. Little children, knowing that I am coming again soon for you personally, abide in me. But Christ also is coming at the end of history, which the end of the year always reminds us of. His coming is swift. He is at hand. And he is coming as the judge. Everyone must be gathered before his throne. Even we must appear before him and be judged by him. Even we must give an account of our life before him. Everything will be judged. We read in the scriptures, the books will be opened. And perhaps sometimes as children or adults we think, well, there are things we can still hide. No, everything that we may have done in secret will be revealed openly. How shall we face that judgment? Shall we ignore it? No, that won't work. Shall we face the judgment in terror? Shall we face the judgment in our own good works and think, well, I will rely upon my good works, or I will rely upon the works of other saints or others, and that will secure for me a favorable judgment in the judgment day? Shall we appear before the Lord in the fig leaves of our own imaginations, our own works? The Lord says, no, little children, abide in me, for the purpose that when I come and you stand before me in the judgment, you may first of all stand before me unashamedly. Not naked in your sin, unashamedly. You see, there's a warning there. By failing to abide in Christ, we will face the judgment in fear and trembling. If we walk in sin this year, if we refuse to repent of our sins and walk in ways of wickedness, then we must expect, in that way of sin, in that way of unbelief, to be ashamed in the presence of the judge. We only then in that way expect the judgment day in terror, great trembling. The Lord warns us, don't walk that way. Abide in me, so that you may stand before me, not in the nakedness of your sin. You may stand before me washed, clothed in my righteousness, standing in my perfection, and then waiting with anticipation for the favorable judgment from the judge. Abide in me so that you may stand before the judge in confidence, not self-confidence, not a confidence where we say, yes, look at what I have done. That's the proof of my righteousness, or that I can stand before the Lord in the judgment and he will be impressed with me. No. Not self-confidence or confidence rooted in what we do. This is the confidence of faith anchored in Christ, his righteousness, His works, His glory. That's the confidence where, though yes, we know we have sinned, and we grieve over that sin, and we weep over that sin because in that sin we have offended God, yet we have the confidence that in Jesus Christ we are heirs of eternal life and of God's blessing and of that judgment of His grace that He will give unto us our everlasting reward of grace established by Christ. Now given to us in eternity. That's the confidence we need when we face death, that when we die, we will be clothed when we stand before the Lord in judgment. Not in our own works or sins, but in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Abide, beloved, in me, saith the Lord. You say, well, how is that possible? Lies in the fact that possibility, beloved, lies in the fact that the Lord calls us His little children. Little children. The possibility is not that we are little children. If a parent were to leave his little child to feed himself and clothe himself and when the child would get sick, to take it himself to the hospital, to the doctor, the little child, we know, would eventually become sick, and if not rescued from that lack of attention, would certainly die. And similarly, if God would let His little children, who we are, defend for ourselves in this hostile environment, we could never stand for a moment in Christ. We would surely perish. We would surely deny Him and go in the way that leads to everlasting destruction. The fact that we are the little children of the Father, and that's how the Father addresses us, speaks of His relationship to us, a relationship grounded in His love, in His promises to you and me. Grounded in His good pleasure, in His counsel towards us. The Father loves His little children. He counts them precious in His sight. He has adopted them in the blood and by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. They are His, and of His little children the Father is very jealous. By that Spirit He has united them to Christ. He abides in them. He abides in us by His Word and Spirit. And He works faith in His children, in the life of Christ in them. And if His little children become delinquent, walk in sin, the Father is a faithful Father. He chastises His little children in different ways. But He brings them back in the means that He is pleased to use, in repentance. Little children, that is our faithful Father, and that makes it possible for us to remain in Christ. We ask, how can we be so sure that the Father will be faithful to me? Am I that little child to whom the Father will be the faithful Father to care for me? To keep me in the hollow of His hand, never let me perish. Well, beloved, He has given us His promise. He gives you His word in verse 27, where He says, and even as the Spirit of truth hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. That's the promise. Secured by Jesus Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit. The promise that He will bless you with His grace, that He will preserve you in that life of Jesus Christ, because without that, we would surely perish. Beloved, have you been taught of the Spirit? Do you know your sin? Do you know that in Christ is your only salvation? All your hope, all your blessing, all your peace and prosperity in Him and Him alone. Have you been taught that you are nothing and that Christ is for you everything? Well, beloved, that's the evidence that He abides in you. The Spirit is in you. And so the word of Christ to you is then, little children, abide in Me. And as you abide in Me, you have the hope of safety, prosperity in the year of our Lord, 2016. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious and faithful Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the opportunity to begin the year with Thee and Thy Word before we begin the work and the labors of this year. We need Thy blessing. We need to know that Thou wilt not send us into the year alone, but Thou wilt go with us. And we are so very thankful, Father, that Thou hast spoken to us in Thy Word. And so may Thy Holy Spirit work in us obedience to Thy Word, that we abide in Christ. We are Thy little children. We depend upon Thee for everything, and so also be pleased to provide us all that we need according to Thy riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.